At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome everybody in to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. We got a loaded show today, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, this show is powered by The Ticket, powered by Carriker Chronicles, theticketfm.com, and carrikerchronicles.com as well. Loaded show. That's allowed to happen on a non-Monday or Friday, by the way. Most Mondays, most Fridays, you're overflowing with stuff to talk about. This is a loaded show today. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have some reason for optimism, positivity when it comes to special teams. For a couple of reasons. All right. It's not just Brian Buscini, but if you didn't know, Brian Buscini, Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. This is a guy, as all of you saw, got basically, you know, clotheslined, five-star frog splashed, if you know what that is, off the top rope on his first punt of the day. His back was killing him the whole day. He came back and played like a warrior. It's not just the performance, the 260-plus yard punts that he had throughout the day, the burying Rutgers offense, especially on their last drive inside the 10-yard line, but doing it twice. Not just the fact that he has the highest completion percentage of any Nebraska football player ever. He's 1-for-1. That's 100% on a 30-yard fake punt. All right. It's the fact that he did it while clearly being in a lot of pain. All right. So not only do I love the performance, not only do I love the fact that he gives us a reason to have a little bit of optimism, just a little bit, on special teams. Okay. Because here's what happens. If you have a particular team as a whole, doesn't matter the sport. If you have a, let's say, basketball team that is just struggling, and then a particular player just picks it up, not a notch, not two, but like three notches, and then this player gets hurt and they're playing through pain, well, the person next to him is going to notice. And then the person next to those two people is going to notice. And all of a sudden, it starts to reverberate. All right. What I'm saying is not just the performance, playing a heck of a game, which is what Brian Buscini did, but the way he did, grimacing through back pain, fighting through like a warrior, those are the things that other people are going to notice in the locker room. Been talked about numerous times since Saturday, as we all know, but they're going to notice on the special teams, okay? And I'm not saying all of a sudden we're going to be really good at special teams. We've been god-awful at special teams. It's embarrassing. We look like a middle school team when it comes to special teams. But my point is, it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start with something or someone. You couple this with the fact that this is the bye week. Nebraska could not have asked for more perfectly timed bye weeks this year. When I saw the schedule and I found out that every team was going to get two bye weeks, which, by the way, should happen every single college football season, because with the schedules the teams are playing now, like two bye weeks, if you want every game to actually matter the most amount of as it possibly can, like, you know, what college football has always been until the people with suits say, hey, we just want more money. And so they do a money grab and wrap it up under the guise of a college football playoff, which is what it is, but it's really a way to make more money. Topic for another day. I have strong thoughts on that. But what I'm going to tell you is when it comes to things reverberating and things getting better, kind of going back to the special teams, it's got to start with someone, something, somewhere. And what happens is people take notice of a guy who's not just playing well, but a guy who's fighting through things and potentially with a bye week, okay, as these schedules get more difficult. Nebraska's four toughest games, I believe, are still ahead of them, starting with our next two games Indiana and Ohio State are probably both better than any team we played so far this year. All right. These bye weeks help players rejuvenate, get better, get healthy, stay fresh. And so you show up every Saturday and each game is going to mean more. So you're trying to preserve what made college football so great for so long, which is the importance of the regular season, while also expanding the season, making more money, getting more exciting matchups. But you can't tell me it keeps the regular season the same exact value it once was. But again, that's a topic for another day. You print more money, it doesn't mean you just have more money. It means you diluted the amount of money that's out there. So each dollar is no longer worth the same it once was, you know, but we'll get into inflation and debate talks for another day. My point is simply this. When I saw that Nebraska had a bye week after six games, I was like, perfect. Halfway through the season, boom. All right. And before I knew when the second bye week was, I was like, six games left. What if we had it after the next three games? So the halfway point through the season and then the midway point of the back half of the season. Boom. That's exactly what happened. Nebraska has a bye week after six games and after nine games. You couldn't have asked for better timing for bye weeks. As far as the special teams, you get an inspirational performance from Brian Buscini. And now you've got 2 weeks to work on the things that you've been not very good at all, in particular special teams. I'd really like to address the run game on offense. Let's get back to just being close to what we were last year. And again, we don't have to run the ball as much. The quarterback isn't a threat to run the ball consistently at all. I get all those things. I'm going to counterbalance you with saying I'm not looking at total yardage. I'm looking at yards per carry because we're not going to run the ball as much because we can actually throw the ball this year. When you keep a defense more balanced or more off balance, I'm sorry, because your offense is more balanced. When you do run the ball, the hole should be there just as much as last year, if not more, because it's less predictable. So again, it's yards per carry for me, which we're averaging 3.9 right now. Nebraska was right around 5 yards per carry last year when we were much more predictable and had to run the ball. Last year, I would have put 9 guys in the box, zero coverage, and said, good luck throwing the ball. You got inexperienced receivers. You got a quarterback who is a run first, run second, run third, and then throwing is probably his fourth option. That's not a cheap shot. Loved our quarterback's effort from last year. Purdy, Harburg, right, even Sims. He never did anything that you could be mad at as far as his approach to the game and work ethic. The results on the field weren't what anybody wanted, all right? But that just is what it is. It was what it was. My point is now we should be able to keep defenses more off balance because we're more balanced on offense. We got to be able to run the ball better, but even more so, we got to fix special teams. You got to address them. You got to at least be average. We'd be average on special teams. Right now, it even takes slightly below average. Can we just be slightly below average on special teams? Because right now, the special teams is not even close to slightly below average or just below average. Right now, special teams is a flat-out liability. Gave Rutgers the ball on our 2-yard line. Next possession, due to a rough putt from Buscini, who had a great day, put him on the 28. They had 2 possessions in the second half at our 2 and at our 28. And I talked about this yesterday. The 9 plays the Rutgers ran with the ball at the 2 and at the 28, they totaled negative 18 yards. You can't ask our defense to do that against Ohio State, against Indiana, or with any sort of consistency at all. It's just not realistic. Those guys are over there watching film. They're getting paid. They're lifting weights too. They're going to make plays too. So you can't consistently put our team in a position. Like we can't even kick field goals right now. Anytime we go to kick anything, field goal, punt, kickoff, which hasn't been as entertaining so far. I'm going to knock on wood, even though there's been a couple of returns, that it doesn't get any more entertaining than it has. Anytime we go to kick a ball on special teams, it's a liability right now. The special teams needs to be a unit that just isn't a liability. I would love to have average. I would take slightly below average because that means you're no longer a liability, which means you're not putting our team in position to possibly lose the game every time you're on the field. And what I'm getting at with the bye week is you've got 2 weeks now to work on these things. All right, the order of operations for the field goal kick to start with. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, all right, from back in my math days. The order of operations, the snap. Let's get the snap down. Let's get to where we can just snap the ball. The hold, which hasn't been a gigantic issue, but on the game-winning field goal against Illinois, or attempt, it was. Laces were not where they properly should be. Field goal protection. Again, let's do the order of operations here. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Snap, hold, protection. Okay, whether our field goal kicker can make the kick or not is irrelevant if we don't get the first 3 things down in the order of operations. Let's get the order of operations down. And then we can work on our field goal kickers specifically. Tristan Alvano's got a big leg. Don't know when he's going to be back, but Matt Rhule said he started the road to being back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hole, the guy who's kicking right now. Got a big leg. Rhule talked about during camp his 50-plus yard field goals were one of the highlights of camp. They can do it. It's there. The potential is there. Let's put the whole order of operations for our field goal unit to the test, to the grind, and get better this week. As far as punt protection isn't rocket science. I'm not trying to mock in any way, shape, or form. There's different ways of protecting, but basically all you have to do is for 3 seconds or less, just don't let them get by you. It really is that simple. It's really not more complicated than that. Now, they're going to do stunts on their end, and they're going to put athletes in specific positions because, again, they're watching film, they're lifting weights, they get paid too, they're going to try to make plays too. You don't have to boom 60-yard punts every time. You simply just need to protect so our punter can get the ball off. Again, can we just get, I'd love to be average on special teams. Can we just get to slightly below average to where we're not a liability every time we step foot on the field with special teams? To me, this is an opportunity and a reason for optimism because I'm not just looking at Bushini's performance, which was impressive. When you look at the numbers as an overall whole, barring one punt and that was it, the rest of the day was phenomenal. It's the inspirational performance that I hope everybody else that's on special teams can feed off of. Because sometimes that's what it takes to jumpstart somebody when you're just kind of clunking along and you can't figure out why it is the way it is and why it's not going the way that you want. Sometimes you need something completely out of the ordinary, and an inspirational performance could be the thing that just jumpstarts us to being on our way to being slightly below average to maybe by the end of the season average on special teams. You can't tell me the talent isn't there to do that. Ed Foley, the guy's coached for decades. You can't tell me he doesn't have the knowledge. Something's missing. You're turning the key in the car, but it just won't turn over. Sometimes there's something really wrong with the engine. Sometimes it's just some teeny tiny little thing, and it just needs to click, and bam, the car's running. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that the car's a Lamborghini, but can it just be a car that runs? Can you just do 35? Can you just do 40? You don't have to do 75 or 80 on the interstate, or in Jake's case, 95, right, Jake?
That's right.
My wife told me to be much nicer to you today.
Okay. I'm actually a pretty slow driver.
Are you?
Yeah.
So if you want to know, all right, all cops, turn off your radio. If you want to know how long it's going to take the Carricker family to get somewhere, there's two times. There's the time that it takes when my wife drives, which admittedly is going to be the speed limit, and there's going to be the time that it takes, normally much shorter, when I drive. Although we actually did have to implement a rule that I'll keep to myself. I don't want to put that rule out there in the universe that my wife created for me, and I have followed for the most part. I've done much, much better. All right. It helps when your kids are in the car and they're the most important thing in the world to you. All right. There's hope for special teams if they can take Bushini's performance and his inspirational performance beyond just Saturday. There's hope that we can improve and be, and I'm not saying this sarcastically, slightly below average. That's not a jab. I don't mean it as a jab. But if you think we're going to go from where we are to just average, you're crazy. You got to take the order of operations. Can we go from being a flat-out liability to less of a liability to definitely below average to slightly below average? Can we just incrementally go up the staircase of slight success as a special teams? And by the end of the year, when we play Wisconsin and Iowa, if we're just flat-out average, man, that would be like the grand slam of special teams improvement in my mind for this last month to 2 months of the season. It was proposed maybe Brian Bushini should get a black shirt the other day. And I think Bushini, I don't know the quote, but he basically said, no, those guys are monsters. I just kick balls. Is that what he said?
Yeah, something to that.
Paraphrasing. Yeah. Here's what I'll tell you. I respect that. I've never thought anybody who didn't actually like play defense should be up for a black shirt. I've always associated the punter more with the defense than the offense. It helps that I like Bucini as a person. It helps that I love the inspirational performance. It helps that he's like the one bright spot for the special teams right now. I have no problem with what he said. And of course, I was paraphrasing, but I am told that that's basically what he said. But I'll tell you what, if he goes out and puts out another performance like he did, especially if he's got to play through pain or something like that, I wouldn't be entirely opposed to it. For now, I'm good as it is. I'm good as it is. He's good as it is. And I'm good as it is. If he goes out and does something like that again, we might have to have a more serious conversation about the first time ever in the history of Nebraska football, a non-defensive player potentially, and again, I associate punters more with defense than offense, potentially getting a black shirt. What are your thoughts on that, Jake? I'm just curious.
I you know what? I think we're caught up in the moment. I think you do. I think you got to leave the black shirt to the defensive side of the ball, no matter how much he helps. Nebraska's had great punters over the years, and some not so good ones, but some really great punters over the years that certainly have helped the defense before. I get the idea. I know he's laid some good hits. He's passed the ball. I mean, he's done just about everything for Nebraska. But I'm a big fan of the black shirt tradition, and I don't want it to be be scarred that way. Now, they did give out some black shirts to two members of the basketball team a couple years ago.
That I was going to say. Did,
so it's already been a little bit hurt there. But I like to keep that. I think that's the coolest thing. The black shirt's one of my favorite traditions at Nebraska, because I don't think there's too many places, especially going on a recruiting visit. You're like, this whole thing you're explaining to me is just the defensive side. I think that's cool. A cool thing that Nebraska should keep on the defensive side.
The basketball jerseys were honorary black shirts. They weren't actually stepping on the football field. So I guess I put that in a different compartment in my head, but that does make sense. I think it's just something. There's always a first time for something. Nothing new ever happens unless something new happens to jumpstart it. All right. The defense itself. 43 FBS defenses have forced 8+ turnovers this year. Black shirts are one of them. 16 FBS defenses have recorded 15+ sacks this year. Black shirts are one of them. 11 FBS defenses are allowing less than 14 points per game this year. The black shirts are one of them. Only one FBS defense is doing all three things. All right, so let me put those three things in summation. The Blackshirts are the only college football defense to allow less than 14 points a game, force more than 8 turnovers, and have 15 sacks or more on the season. There's only one defense in America that's done that, and that is Tony White and the Blackshirts defense. Now, last year, the Blackshirts, as an overall defense, were rated 11th in the country. They're currently ranked 14th. If you take the Illinois, the two rough quarters, again, they played 22 good quarters out of 24, which is 9 more good quarters than the offense, who've played 13 good quarters out of 24. And I'm just not counting overtime because I feel like being nice. It's the bye week and we're 5-1. So we're just going to act like that didn't happen. The Blackshirts are currently the 14th ranked defense in the country. They were 11th a year ago. But if you take out those two quarters versus Illinois, they're almost a top 5 defense. Obviously, two very important quarters we can't just take out. But my point is, as an overall whole, they're the one unit that you can consistently rely on 19 times out of 20, 95% of the time. All right, a couple other random stats here. The national volleyball rankings. God, the Big Ten. I've never understand why cold states are so good at volleyball. But Nebraska is number 2 in the country. Penn State, number 3. Wisconsin, number 10. Purdue. All right. Purdue's number 10. Oregon. Remember, they're a Big Ten team. Number 11. Minnesota, number 14. Of the 15 teams, the top 15 teams in America when it comes to collegiate volleyball, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we have 6 of them in the Big Ten Conference alone. USC is at 16. Washington is at 24. All right, and if you didn't know this, I thought this was interesting. Nebraska volleyball is undefeated all time, 39-0 versus Iowa. I guess that's what happens when you have bad corn, Jake.
That's right.
All right. You got any other quick thoughts before we move on to our next topic here, Jake?
No, just glad to see the volleyball team. I mean, it's they've been sweeping lately. So the response to that SMU game earlier in the year has been fantastic. And the right bag, you know, for a second you worry, and then they get those worries taken away. They're number 2 in the country. Right back where they belong. Of course, this year, it's finishing the job. They've been to the national championship, you know, several times over the last couple of years. Hasn't quite crossed that line. So we'll see if they can get it done.
That sophomore class is a monster class. When they were freshmen coming in, they were the number one, I think, ranked recruiting class, not only in the country, but that John Cook had ever had. All right, we are going to be joined here in a couple of minutes. In fact, I want to make the last segment a little bit longer today. So I'm going to go ahead and end this segment. We're going to be joined here in about 5 minutes. Two-time Nebraska national champion, former offensive lineman, 70-71, and originally a walk-on. But the man who does more to keep former players connected than anybody else on planet Earth, Mr. Mike Red Baron, offensive guard for the Huskers, 70-71, two-time national champion. And I don't think I've ever met anyone whose blood is more Nebraska red, no pun intended, as I say it out loud and I hear what I'm about to know what I'm about to say, than Mr. Mike Red Baron. All right, don't go anywhere. He'll be joining us when we're right back.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.